I'll throw this out there. Who wrote this? This gentleman, does he want me to say his name? I'll just use Eric. We have this on the website. You can do an "Is there anybody out there?" submission. If you come up with a funny or interesting "Is there anybody out there who blank?" And by the way, stuff the box. Stuff it with what you are. Is there anybody out there who's a one-eyed, one-legged midget who used to be in a Portland Trailblazer and got an auto accident while transporting 2 kilos of pot over the Canadian border? Is there anybody out there? And then you can call and say,
that's me. I can't believe you finally called.
You can make some, if you are. But do that at the website, bobrivers.com. This person is just such a person. He actually, his "Is there anybody out there?" should read, "Is there anybody else out there who has ever gone to a strip club?" Which, by the way, there's new rules proposed now. They're actually going to say that their moratorium on strip clubs is going to be lifted and there are going to be more of them. Is that right?
Well, I didn't know this, but for 15 years, apparently, there has been a ban on opening a strip club in the city of Seattle.
They call it a moratorium. Mm-hmm.
You're kind of grandfathered in if you owned one when this came along, but nobody else can open one. Well, now the city council they just delay this decision every year. They're saying, we're going to deal with this year, and it might be for the first time you see new strip clubs in the Seattle city limits.
This is bad.
Why is it bad?
You remember what happened when there were 8 comedy clubs?
The quality of the comedians went
down. Exactly.
Now being hoisted onto the main stage.
I'm telling you. But there aren't enough attractive women to fill the 3 or 4 or 5 clubs we got.
Well, that want to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and there's enough patrons. That's
there are
why
plenty of attractive women.
Right.
You've been at Westlake
Center.
Don't
get me wrong.
The
women are out there. They're just the ones that are willing to earn a living that way.
That's
why limited supply.
These guys are having to build bigger parking lots, literally, and that's what the whole snafu was about before. I mean, the few clubs that are out there are over capacity.
Are they making money hand over fist? Oh. I don't have.
Well put.
I don't know if it's the hand over the fist.
Yes,
but it's something over
fist over the ham. Yeah,
ham over fist.
Mm-hmm. They are.
So they are.
You couldn't. There's
so a strip club license is worth big. And by the way, I don't go in. Hey, Christian, is there anything for your friends out there?
I think there is, but I've never been to one.
Never.
The last strip club I went to was in Tijuana, and it was
Now I don't know if they really are making money hand over fist, because 15 years ago when this rule went into effect, I guess there were 7, and I think we're down to 4 now. So would 3 have gone out of business?
Well, you just build an elementary school near one, and bingo, there it goes. I think that's how they let them go by attrition, and they're hoping to stamp it out. I don't know how I feel about that business. I think it might be a pressure valve for some guys. It might do some good, and that's like gambling. It's one of those businesses that seedy elements. Well, yeah, that's what you're not going there for wholesome. Well, you're going there for the illusion of wholesome.
Right. Just because she's got on a schoolgirl dress and a pair of glasses doesn't mean she's got an education.
Or an eye vision problem.
Right.
So you never see an empty parking lot.
No, they
drive
are full.
By them.
Anyway, Eric asks, and this is for all you out there, is there anybody out there who's ever been to a strip club and received a lap dance, and Spike explained what that was the other day, only to discover that the girl is either, 1, someone you went to high school with, 2, a friend's daughter, or 3, your goddaughter? 2 of the 3 have already happened to me. Signed, Eric.
Wow.
Eric did not say which 2. 2 of the 3... I'm sure it was a friend's daughter and his goddaughter giving him a lap dance because someone he went to high school with.
No, goddaughter.
Uncle Eric!
That would be awful.
Oh, God. Because aren't you supposed to be looking out for your godkids?
Yes.
Isn't that the idea?
Yes.
You're not just a fail-safe if something happens to the parents. You're
Eric,
supposed to
if
be
you are listening, please give us a call and disguise your voice. Do something. Yeah, we'll talk about 60 minutes. you can probably talk like this anyway. Maybe that's his real voice. So 1-800-252-1. In other words, have you ever recognized someone? I would put this on that too, or been recognized in one of these places. It's like I said, I've never patronized one. I didn't say ever.
You've said,
Eric,
said,
you sit there going,
never. You said
Bob
never.
Bob usually tells the truth. What's up here? No, I didn't say ever, but never in this state, never where I live. On a business trip, I'm dragged along. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go.
Seen one, you've seen them both.
Vancouver once, because I was there with a friend. He was like, I hear they're really good here. I said, really? Well, I am a good host. I guess we'll see you together. And the embarrassing thing that happened to me was in Canada, because I figured I'm in a whole I'm in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. And so, all right. Because, by the way, it would be devastating to me to be seen in one of these places. I will tell you right now. I'm a family man. I know you don't care. But you're, you know, and you're
I'm
raising
a family
girls.
Man.
I know.
Raising daughters. Yeah, I have to know what the girls are up to.
But you have a kind of a rough and ready image, and I mm-hmm. don't.
Well, and I know that it's a harmless form of adult entertainment that leaves no victims, that is a release valve for pressure for guys, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a 500-pound man at this club last weekend. And where else is he going to find female contact?
Maybe the only exercise he gets is to walk
hauling
in
his
there.
Fat ass into that club and hauling his fat ass out.
Maybe that's what his personal trainer said. You
and
know
not
what?
To mention the girls who put on hiking boots to dance on him. I mean, those girls were really getting some good exercise.
And I was in Canada.
And I've never been to the ones in Canada, but
I hear
that
they don't. They have a really nice name for them too.
Peeler bars.
Peeler bars, which is really interesting. And I was in Canada, and I figured, all right, I'll go in with you. I'm, you know, at least I'm in a foreign country. Excuse me, I'm sort of in the back.
Uh-huh.
I've told you this story.
Yes.
And I look around, and I'm looking at all the money slapped on the table. Mm-hmm. Guess what, folks? It was all George Washington's. This bar was full mm-hmm. of Americans.
Loonies with Georges.
All right, and I'm Bob Rivers from KZOK, and I'm like got a hat, and I'm pulling it down. I'm getting the hell out of there. The girl, forget her name.
Onyx.
Onyx.
Something.
Was extremely limber.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. Anyway, this is a listener submission. Is there anybody out there who's gone to an exotic dance club and received a dance only to discover that the girl is either someone you went to high school with, a friend's daughter, or your goddaughter? Two of the three have already happened to Eric. Look at that.
Plenty of lines.
Tom from Redmond, you're first.
Hey, Bob. A friend of mine and I went to a club in Lake City, and up on stage was Tracy from accounting.
Tracy from accounting. Now, that was
nice.
Not her stage name. She was really
nice.
Tracy
from
where you work.
that was not her stage name. I don't remember what her stage name was, but somehow I recognized Tracy even in that environment, and she recognized me. We made eye contact, and actually, Tracy came down and offered a lap dance, but I thought that would be a bit too awkward, so I passed.
We
but,
say, well, you're an expert. Can I expense this? you know.
Really, Tracy from accounting. I'm sure you can't say the name of the firm, nor should you.
No, it was a company in Kirkland. Actually, they're not around anymore. It was a small software company, and I don't know if Tracy's still at that club. I haven't been back there in a long time, but when I got back to work, I wasn't one to spread the word, but after a couple of months, word did get around, because actually Tracy participated in one of other coworkers' bachelor parties, and somebody managed to bring some pictures into work, so the word eventually got out.
But
and,
you kept it a secret.
I kept it a secret. I thought what she does after hours is up to her, and if she wanted everybody to know about it, she would
have told
us about
it. You're a good man.
You like
gentlemanly
that?
Gentlemanly, yeah.
That is. Well, that's why they call it a gentleman's club.
Right on.
There you go.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm surprised that somebody that works in accounting would need the money. I thought they're some
they
of the best
paid. They can just embezzle
it. Exactly.
Don in Polesbo. Hello, Don.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Don. I did have a similar experience to what you guys are talking about today. Me and my brother took, this is several years ago, one of our friends who turned 18 out to a particular club, and we noticed, well, I recognized a young lady who I went to high school with in the club. And then I was looking around the club, and I also recognized three male teachers from the same high school.
Oh.
And that's what happened.
Now, was this girl, she wasn't still in high school?
No. She had graduated, and as I had as well, and she was a year ahead of me in the school.
When you're there and you see that, well, first off, do you go a lot, Don, or was this just a rare? Every guy is going to say, oh, no.
I'm never there.
I was with a friend's bachelor party. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, are you a connoisseur of these sort of things?
From time to time, I will venture in. You know, I used to go a lot more. Now I'm
Lewis and Clark.
been married several years now.
You're
so.
Married now. So, do you go now that you're married?
I haven't gone in a long time, but yes, I still do go from time to time.
The wife is okay with that, because I know, like, Spike's wife sent him last week.
Sure.
My wife and I had a discussion before we got married, and we're both under the impression that as long as you get your appetite, wherever you get your appetite, as long as you eat at home, that's fine.
All right, thanks for sharing. And,
hey, the teachers yes. that were they there for her? Was she working for them? Because, you know, girls come off the stage and they tend to flock toward a couple of certain customers sometimes.
Did it appear that those teachers had been doing some extracurricular tutoring?
I don't think so. I did actually live up the street from one of the teachers when I was a little kid. He was always a perfect gentleman. I was pretty shocked to see him in there. I had another one of the teachers, and he was a wonderful person as well.
How fair is it for you to be shocked to see someone in there when you're in there?
I always thought he was a good student, but
then I
see him at
the
bar, and I'm like, oh, my God!
Well, of course, you know, I
didn't know he was a pervert like me.
You know, there you go. You know, I have certain things that I'll do, and I didn't think that that was something within their realm of...
What was their subjects they taught?
Well, he did ace the biology exam. I'll give him that.
What
they're
subjects?
They're all in the history department.
They're all history now. Thank you. This happens to a lot of people. Bob and Sumner. Go ahead, Bob.
How you doing, Bob?
Good. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I had a bachelor party about 14 years ago, and my friend had rented a bus, and all my friends that went to the bachelor party went on this bus, and we made several stops at different strip joints, and one of them that we stopped at, when they found out it was a bachelor party, they took me out on the stage, set me on a chair, and then all these girls were dancing around me, and this one girl came up from underneath the legs of another gal, right in between my legs, and came up and looked me eye to eye, and it was my friend's daughter.
Oh.
No, yeah. So then she looked at me, and she shook her head, and she whispered in my ear, don't say a word. And then on top of that, her parents were invited to our wedding, and she came with her parents to the wedding. And all my buddies that were at that strip club and saw her, I had to keep going on and telling these guys, don't you dare say a word, don't you dare say a word.
Boy, that's playing with fire.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. So,
how'd you
so
keep that kettle from overflowing?
Yeah, it was quite the... I had to keep it under the QT for a long time. I didn't tell my wife about it for years after that.
Eventually you told her.
Oh, yeah. And she's grown and has her own kids now, too, so...
Yeah, who cares?
But, yeah, that's what she did for money.
Apparently, yeah.
And they're dancing
PTA
on the main
PTA president.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you. Great story. And this apparently happens a lot. I mean, they are real people. Dave is in Tacoma. Dave, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, went to a friend's bachelor party, actually, with a coworker, and one of the two gals that was there doing the dancing ended up being somebody from high school that I went to school with. She wouldn't give me the time of day in high school, and she did the same thing when it came to the dancing. But I got a lot of free lap dances from the other dancer.
How often do you ask the lap dancer for, do you know what time it is? The time of day is not what she... You mean she wouldn't even dance appropriately for you?
No, she would actually stay on the other side of the room and wouldn't come anywhere near where I was sitting that night.
She didn't like you.
Wow.
No, I don't think she liked me from high school.
But you're a dancer now.
You have to. I've got money.
You're just another fare. You should be.
I'm a cab fare. Yeah. You're not going to take me there?
She was too embarrassed to, you know, for me to be there and knowing who she was, because she came from a pretty well-to-do family in the Bellevue area. Wow.
Thank you very much. Gosh, I thought we'd only get one or two calls. Jesse and Bothell, hello.
Yeah, I went with my friend. We actually went to see one of his friends, and we're sitting there, and the girl approached me, and she asked me if I remembered her. And I was sitting there thinking, no, I don't remember this person. And she ended up being my second cousin. The last time I seen her, she had brown hair and crossed eyes and had her eyes fixed, and she had blonde straight hair.
Nice. Yeah.
She had some work done.
Right, yeah, just a little
all
bit.
Tax deductible, too.
Nice.
She gave you a family discount. I hope you said, you know, no thanks.
No, I didn't want nothing to do with it.
Good, okay.
I actually couldn't even watch her dance after that.
Oh, come on.
How come?
Because I thought she was a first cousin, and ended up finding out next week that she was like my third or fourth cousin.
So it would have been okay?
It would have been.
Damn! Hey, be nice. Come on.
Well, if you drew the line.
I met your first cousin. You have a hot first cousin.
I'd watch
her still
dance.
Hot? Yeah.
She was very good looking afterwards.
Yeah. What do you mean afterwards?
After she had her hair and her eyes fixed and some other work done.
Right. Now, does she have the same respiratory problem you're suffering from? Is that hereditary?
No, I'm just a little excited to be on the
radio. I don't play you, pal.
So are we,
isn't that a great feeling?
This is
great,
the most excited we've been in a while.
Great feeling.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye-bye. A nice first-time caller send-off. James in Seattle, has that ever happened to you? You're in a erotic dance club, and oh, my God, you're suddenly recognizing someone.
Well, a little bit different than that. I went to work up in Alaska, and I was going to the strip club up there, and they asked me to do some work. I'm a carpenter. I went in the back and started looking at stuff, and up on their billboard was pictures of my mom from some 20 years earlier. When she had gone to Alaska to work. Of course, I was young, 10 or 11 at the time. Had no idea what she was doing.
Are you talking about, like, when you go to Giggles, there's pictures of all the greatest comics they've had up there, like Seinfeld and all of them?
Right. Well, this was in their back dressing room where I was putting up some shelving and stuff.
So they had the pictures of the greatest strippers of all time?
Yeah, kind
of. And your mom was one of them?
And my mom was one of them.
And you had no idea your mom was doing that while she was there?
No clue. Wow.
Now, was
of course,
it...
I was 10 and 11 at the time.
Right.
Was it?
And we were living in Seattle, and she was going up to Alaska to work.
Was it a tasteful photo? Did she have her clothes
Is there
and stuff
such
on?
A thing as a tasteful stripper
sure,
photo of your mom?
Sure. Well, I mean, it
could... Well, I've got nothing against them anyway, and she's not ashamed of it when I asked her about it.
You did ask her. What'd she say?
And she said, yeah, I went up there and did it, and now you're old enough to understand. And so,
put food on the
I
table.
I guess I didn't have a problem with it. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Did she autograph a picture for you?
No.
Okay. No, just not checking. Something
That's
he wants.
Too weird.
Thank you, James. I did not expect my mom to show up in this phone topic.
Hey, was that 8, 9 sailors, Bob? Oh, I missed one. 10.
James Vachon, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a friend come in out of town. I hadn't seen him for about 10 years, and once a week, my wife would. She told me she was going to some kind of like a book club with a bunch of other ladies, and I just assumed that's where she was going. So happened to be that day she went to her supposedly book club, and my friend came in out of town, and he wanted to go to a strip club, and I hadn't been for a number of years.
I
said, sure.
I think you have to name the club at this point.
Well, it was out in Lakewood. I think it's called Lipstick or something like that, or Deja, I don't know, maybe it's Deja Vu.
You know
that place? I think
that's
the
one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so we go out there, and I hadn't been for a while, and I could have cared less, but I was enjoying myself, and we're sitting in the back, and this woman comes out, and I'm like, it was my wife. And my friend was like, that woman kind of looks, he hadn't seen my wife for, 10 years.
Stop, pull over!
It burst, and...
James, stop and tape some tin foil to your head. Your phone's bagging out.
I can't hear you,
James. James, come back, James.
Turn around. Turn the car around.
James, we're losing you. Are you back?
I'm here.
Okay. Now we missed all that. So it was your wife. Your eyes met hers. She was a dancer.
Yeah, yeah. She'd been going to supposedly a book club once a week, and she was actually going there to, I guess, make extra money.
Now, was she trying to, was Father's Day coming, and she wanted to buy you some Lazy Boy chair? Did she have a good reason?
Well, her thing was, you know, she was trying to help get the bills paid down, but nice. I think it was just a wild side of her that she wanted to let out, and after that, we let a lot of things out.
So it was a good
Excuse
thing.
Me, squeeze me. What
it,
was that?
It opened up some communication for you, huh?
Oh, it opened up a lot.
That'd be nice.
It opened up areas you hadn't been able to be comfortable in before.
Pardon?
Nothing.
That's what we said.
I think your phone is breaking up.
You guys are still happy, married today?
He can't still be married to her. Are you there? Still married?
Oh, man.
Oh, we shouldn't
All right,
know. We
poll,
shouldn't know.
Quick poll. Is he still married?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
Christian,
no. I wonder if she ever had a book.
He said, I found it was my wife, and he said it opened up a lot of things for us. Like, I bet
they're married.
Still married.
They're
Joe
married.
Yes, you say yes.
You don't throw a fish like that back in the water.
I say no,
no way.
No way. Maura?
I say yes.
You say yes. Yeah. I'm outvoted. Anyone else with me thinks they're not married?
Christian says no.
I say yes. Because he didn't refer to his ex-wife or anything like
42.
That.
And Eric?
I have to say yes, too.
He's James in Vashon Island. His cell phone died.
I'm back.
Before we could find out if he's still married. How long ago was this?
Actually, it's been about 5-6 years now since that whole incident occurred.
And are you still married to her?
Yes, we are.
I told you.
How do you overcome something like that?
You don't let a prize like that get away.
I heard you the first time. I'm going to ask James. James.
Well, to be really honest, we actually did some marriage counseling, and she had a lot of issues.
Wait a minute. When you go into the marriage counselor with this story, the marriage counselor's like, wow, I thought I've heard that be sing. This is like brand new.
The American says, how are you going to pay for this? And she stands up.
A table dance.
That's wild. So you actually had counseling, got over it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't like I knew, you know, that I trusted her in the sense that she hadn't been, you know, doing anything that she shouldn't be doing, but in the sense, you know, with other men, but it was just this part of her that she needed to express, that she was kind of felt inhibited, and she, I guess, just didn't feel she wanted to really talk to anybody about it, but she just went out and acted upon it, and she wore a kind of a mask, so you really couldn't tell who she was unless, of course, you had been with her and knew her, and I had. So
something sexy about a mask. I think I'm going to suggest my wife if she start wearing one. You think that'll go over okay?
I think it should be fine. Yeah, I fully endorse you doing that.
Oh, man, I just don't see a polite way to ask that.
You really didn't.
James, amazing story. Thank you.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
Dave Mordell made fans nationwide with his appearance last year on NBC's Last Comic Standing. Dave took second, but most viewers think that he was the one who should have been the winner. He returns to NBC in May as co-host of a new show called America's Worst Driver. Dave Mordell, welcome back to the Bob Rivers.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. You said something, and I don't know if maybe you don't want us to say it on the air. We were asking you about your new show, America's Worst Driver. And you said that you think it might be a bomb or something?
Who knows? I mean, it didn't seem like funny when we did it, so...
Uh-oh.
You know? I'm like the world's
Aren't
worst...
Aren't you supposed to be hyping?
I know, but I've never been one of those people. I don't know. Have you ever watched those people on one of these shows where they're with a new movie going, oh, this is the funniest thing you'll ever see, and then it's on DVD within minutes because it sucks so bad?
Yeah.
I don't know how they live with themselves, so I'd rather underrate it.
So you say, it wasn't really very funny.
I don't expect much here. Ugly women...
Don't watch it.
Ugly
Please
women
don't watch
talking
this
to
show.
Stupid guys.
What's the premise of America's Worst Driver, as if I have to ask?
Exactly. It's about food. We like to really fool the audience.
Yeah.
No, we're just taking really bad drivers and eliminating them. So. The only thing that's really kind of creative
don't
about
Don't they do
it
to themselves if left alone?
Right, but the only thing that's really creative is the fact that, and it's not really creative, it's the worst at promoting. It's actually, as you get closer to being the worst, the prizes get more and more horrible. That's the only great thing.
Prizes like?
I think
free traction in the hospital of your choice.
I think somebody wins like a lot of gasoline. Which I don't know if that's good if you got to bring it home right away.
If you're a Buddhist monk. Right.
Exactly.
Is that your allergies, or have you taken up cigar smoking?
It's an allergy. Oh. Yeah, it really is.
So you're allergic to pot?
Yeah, and methamphetamine.
Sure.
You know. I make my own. You know, I'm old-fashioned.
You don't buy that meth
I'm
on
not
the
buying
meth.
No, you never know what's in there. I like to make my own right there at the Holiday Inn, right in my little suite.
Get all the ingredients, the good natural ingredients at the pharmacy yourself.
Yeah, I'm not
cook them up.
Exactly.
Mother used to make.
Exactly. It's mother's recipe. It even has a little garlic. I never understood that. Big on the garlic for the meth.
Well, you're here.
And it's fluorinated.
It is allergy time here. I think most of the people are used to it. Everything's blooming. And it's a big weekend in Seattle. It's opening day of boating tomorrow. There's a big anti-gay marriage thing going on.
Safeco at 2 p.m. There's a marriage rally inside. And then there's a please let us marry too rally outside.
Oh my! You know what? I'm not going to be for gays getting married until the really hot chicks start getting married. That's the only. Have you ever watched the beasts that are coming out of that San Francisco courtroom?
Yep.
You go, I don't even know if those are guys or girls. So I'm just. If
show
you know,
me something I can live with, and
exactly.
then we'll agree.
Yeah. And I've decided that if they legalize gay marriage, I'm marrying my friend Steve because he likes women as much as I do, but he's got health and dental benefits. Finally, get shots for these allergies.
Do you suppose they'll still sell the hot dogs and the nuts in the stadium for something like that?
Joe,
for those that don't bring your
own. I'm just wondering, is there going to be
will they
food
have those?
There?
Yeah. I'm sure they will. That's tomorrow. Safeco at 2 o'clock. In case you're
he really wants some hot dogs and nuts.
He does. Look at him.
Well, I'm not going to be down there. I'm a live and let live. I don't really weigh in too much either way. I'm certainly as far from gay as you're going to get, and no gay would have me anyway.
Oh, I'd have lost $5 on that one.
But I'm not too concerned.
I'm glad I did not bet you.
I know. I told you.
No gay would have you. Do you really think that, Joe?
Well, I've
you know what? This sounds like a contest.
No. I'm not one of those that have ever had a problem of being mistaken for one. I mean, I've never had advances made my way or anything.
Never. Not in your whole life,
the
really.
The day is young. My friend, the day is young, and I've got nothing to do for the next 20 hours.
You like girls.
The word's heterosexual.
Joe's freaking out because Joe thinks might just be gay.
He's an ex-marine.
He's going to play queer eye on the fat guy.
There's plenty of gay ex-marines. Well, there's three.
That's plenty.
There's three of them. I don't know where they're at now.
You are an ex-marine. Let me see the tattoo. What is that?
That's my Harley Davidson tattoo, which was
nice.
It's the only one I have.
So you only got one.
I just got the one, and then I sobered up, and I said, that's enough of that. That's crazy.
It hurt, yeah.
I'll never understand why. I don't know why I did it, you know. It's not like people put Michelin tires on the other arm. You know, I don't know why they went with the Harley. I went with the
Harley. How old were you?
21.
21 years old,
yeah. That was a long time ago, yeah.
Was your dad pissed? Dads get pissed? Or
actually, he was. The only thing he was pissed about was the money. He goes, you owe me like $100. You spend $85 on a tattoo. You're a horrible artist. That's.
Do you still ride Harleys?
Actually, I got off of them. I quit when it became a fad.
That's what I got on.
You did?
Oh,
nice.
The fad.
I got really tired of the orthodontist who thinks he's bad now because he's got a Harley. I got really tired of that watching him with. They'll wave at you on the highway. Go, what? They don't wave. You know, and he's got the wife on the back with a pair of chaps stretched like the cow never meant it. You know?
The poor cow.
Oh, nice saddlebags. Oh, sorry, lady. You know? So I just went and looked at new Harleys actually just 2 weeks ago. I was going to trade in my Suzuki Katana, and the new Harleys look so much like Japanese bikes, I just drove home on my Katana.
Nice.
So, really? And you know what? You're into the more classic style Harley yourself,
yeah,
right?
My bike's a little older.
You think the newer ones are not quite as good. Is that right?
Not at all. I think they're fine bikes. I just like something that looks a little older. I like something that looks like it was my dad's.
Right. Yeah, you know? I had a 69 Super Glide, and I had a 79 AMF Sportster.
The AMFs.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you go fast?
I like to go really fast.
Yeah.
Not me.
I got
the fastest you've gone on a bike.
I got nailed last spring for 130 miles an hour
on a motorcycle.
Yeah, on a motorcycle, and they let me go because I'm old. He goes, "You're too old to be. You need to just go home."
I'm sorry.
I didn't argue with him.
He let you go. That's nice. He was thinking it was a kid.
Yeah,
that he was going to really dress him up and down.
You shouldn't be out here
Yeah. So now, by the way, things are going really good for you. You have this new show, which is going to be a fabulous show.
I hear it's really funny.
And you're scheduled to be on The Tonight Show again. When's that coming?
I have another Tonight Show coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm just putting the set together now, and I just met with them last Sunday.
When you do that, I'm curious if you'd give me a little behind the scenes.
Sure.
How much do they need to know ahead of time what all your jokes are? They need to know everything.
Yeah, right? They go through everything until they trust you, which is like 15 or 20 appearances, and then they'll trust you. Which I understand, because there's idiots out there that would take a really nice opportunity like that and do something stupid. Which, you know, well, you have to be clean. It's The Tonight Show.
Totally clean. Yeah.
I mean, you can push the edge a little bit.
Is there a joke that you could tell almost everywhere else, but you couldn't tell on The Tonight Show? Where's their clean standard these days?
Boy, it's hard.
Hand on the button, Eric. Get ready.
I have one that I'd love to do, but I just can't do it on Tonight Show, and it's it involves the C word, not the female C word, that the guy C word.
The guy C word.
Like
like rhymes with clock.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. But you can't. There's no other word that works in the bit. So.
Yeah, you can't do that on the radio either.
All right, let's move on then.
Say clock.
Hey, let's come up with some other things.
But you think it's such
a
great
joke. I can't show this.
But you think it's such a great joke.
Yeah,
and
really
yet
is.
You can't.
I can't do it.
You
yeah.
can't do it.
Yeah.
And when you get on The Tonight Show, do you get nervous after? I mean, you're so TV friendly now.
I've been more nervous for crowds of like four people than any. The Tonight Show is so easy to do because they treat you so well.
Mm-hmm.
And. There's none of that standing around waiting. You're in your green room. They come and knock on the door, and they go, 1 minute, and you don't even have time to, you know, worry about anything. So you just go out, and you're done.
You walk out in a minute,
and
you do
great,
your
great
stuff.
Audiences.
The audience
yep.
loves it, yeah, yep. because so, they've just heard a lame monologue. So
yeah, if you now I won't be on The Tonight Show.
Hey, you didn't say it.
Hey,
you.
No, I didn't. How did you
and
know?
And I made him say it.
You killed
I said it because I'm the known big Jay Leno
you
fan.
You killed the last it's, time you were on there, Dave.
I had a great time. I think if you fail on
yeah,
The Tonight
but you were
Show,
right?
I don't know what's wrong with you. You know,
it's
so easy to do.
Out of my way to see your last appearance on The Tonight Show.
You did not.
Yes, I did. In fact, because
nice.
Yes, yep. because
hey, you want to meet me down at the Safeway?
No.
Safeco.
Safeco. Oh, what if I had the right one?
Nice. When I know someone's going to be on right after they're here,
yeah.
I will. I'll go, because after you've met a person, you see that, you know, because on the show, there's something magical about, yeah. you know, the lights, the mood, the atmosphere. It's not even human. It's almost like you're this icon
yeah.
up there. And, I imagine there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And it's the weird thing is people think it's a studio and stuff like that. It's just a small trailer in the desert.
Having Halle Berry on that night didn't hurt either.
She's seeing... so gorgeous. I haven't washed my hand.
I really didn't watch for you. I knew it was Halle Berry coming on.
You know,
she's funny. No, I
don't. And she's available again. She filed for a divorce.
She just got divorced, yeah, or something. Yeah. So I got that in my corner because I'm sure she'll remember me from that 8 seconds that I pawed her while the camera was the other way.
You said she smelled good. You remember how Halle Berry smelled?
She smelled really good.
Really?
Really, really good. Yeah.
Like
really
berries?
Good. Like berries.
Bacon.
Like hazelnuts. Some of that. Yeah, she smelled good.
And that's but it's not. I mean, you don't dare ask, right?
No.
What's that you're wearing so I can slap it on some cheap girl I'm going out with?
Yeah, coming up next, we got a very funny guy. He's been on the show before. We're really happy to have him back here. He's we almost didn't have him back here. You know, Kev, I know you didn't know because he was smoking a lot of pot that night, but we almost didn't have him back here because the last time he was here, I don't know if you remember this or not, but he had his hand all over Halle Berry and he kept smelling his hand. So hoping, and she was very uncomfortable. And you know how much we love to kiss Halle Berry's ass. So all that aside, he's a great comedian. We're very glad to have him back. His name is I love him. I got it in front of me somewhere. His new CD is. Let me put it on top of my coffee cup. His new CD is available. It's called. No, that's Janet's CD. I'm sorry. Dave Mordell. Dave Mordell.
Thanks,
Jay.
It's
good to have you back again.
Thanks, Jay.
if we screw this up for you, I'll be very upset.
What? He's got a terrific sense of humor.
He is funny. When is your appearance there?
My appearance? I have no idea yet, but it's like within 2 weeks.
We'll call you.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
They give you the kind of 2 week warning.
Yeah.
Get some stuff.
You can still be bumped even though you got to, you know, if something happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You got 2 weeks. You want to get yourself into rehab.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Or Halle Berry goes long or something.
Well, Dave, you're sober as a judge, right?
This morning, but last night. Holy cow.
One day.
No, I've been sober for 18 years now.
That's what I thought.
We discussed that last time.
Yep.
I've been sober 15 years.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So you got me beat. Before that, were you Oh, it was the other way, yeah.
You ever been so drunk you thought the cops wanted to race? I've done
drunk.
So many stupid things. I'm not proud of this, but this actually, when I was 22, I got a DWI where the cop opened my door and I fell out.
Okay,
you don't talk your way out of that. Yeah. Well, I'm tired. You know, that doesn't work with that one. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad stuff.
What turned it around for me was I was going to die.
Wow, you're much worse off than I was. I guess I could go back
longer,
to drinking. I guess I'll be okay.
Yeah,
you'll be
at least
fine
longer,
now.
But you had it worse. That's right. That's not a
yeah, I'm all right now. I guess I could get a little bit of wild turkey on the way home.
Uh-huh.
What time do the liquor stores open? actually, I Marine Corps brig. I had some real. I mean, when you're drinking too much for the Marine Corps,
ooh, yes,
you really got to do something about it. So it was.
They expect you to straighten up and fly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was a bad time.
What sort of specialized Marine Corps training did you have?
Let me tell you something, my friend.
Could
if
you
you've
like
got a truck with an automatic transmission, I can drive.
How sad is that? You go through boot camp and all the hell that that brings for 13 weeks, and they make you a truck driver. Something any moron off the road could have done. Can you drive an automatic? Yep.
I'm
in.
Sergeant.
I'm in. You know, that's what I did. I was a truck driver.
Wow.
So.
And did you ever know what was in the truck?
Yeah, it was usually just like MREs. All I had was a supply truck. That's all they'd give me.
Yeah, nothing.
And at the end, I was driving explosives, but then the drinking got to be, and it went, no
the
more
drinking
of that.
Guy doesn't drive the
explosives.
Why don't
you take that?
Why don't you run the mashed potatoes over the mess hall for us, Dave?
Yeah, it got to be too bad. So,
when you were discharged honorably, I assume.
No honorably.
No,
it's a big black mark on my record. It's a dishonorable discharge.
How do you? Is there some way? Can you go back ever and change that?
I think you can, but I missed the cutoff date.
Drunk?
I was wicked drunk and driving around in my Humvee, and I thought, you know, I should check this out, but. No, I think I missed the cutoff date. So if there's any senators listening that can
fix
me
it
out,
for me,
yeah,
fix this parking ticket.
In case I ever, like, after this new show comes out and I have to get a job at a Denny's or a Perkins, I'm going to need a reference that doesn't say dishonorable discharge.
It really has held you back.
It really has held me back.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. You're doing great. And now, do you still see Rich Voss, the other guy from Last Comic Standing?
I talked to him on the phone, and I see him once in a great, not a whole lot, but he's in L.A. right now, and.
The weirdest thing happened to me. I was in L.A. and I rented a car, and I'm returning my car, and right behind me pulls up Rich Voss.
Returning a car right behind
you. At the same
you.
Time, it seems like, I mean, on the whole planet, in this 10 million-plus person city, one of my favorite comedians and my wife's all-time favorite, you and Rich, are her favorites, just happened to pull up right behind
by
you.
The way, he said that to Dat Fan last week. So I was
No.
Well. Oh, yes, you did. Dat Fan came here, and you said, well, you misled Dat Fan, because you
said... My wife loves...
The
last
show.
Last Comic Standing.
Love
the
show.
Oh, thank you. I think I autographed a CD for her. She must be my biggest fan.
And then as soon as he walks out the door, we'll tell you what he says about you after you walk out.
Oh, I'm sure.
As soon as he walks out the door.
I said she loved Dave and Rich.
She hated
that
fan.
He thought that guy was a pompous ass kebab.
Did he hire your wife as the 23rd person on his staff?
He said he had like 30 people working for him.
Yeah, you know why I'm working for me? Me. That's about
an army of one.
Yeah, I'm an army of one.
Dat.
Well, that's wild.
Says
running
he has
into
23
like
people
that.
Working for him. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That is so. I don't. What would you do with 23 people?
Like, write jokes, maybe? Because he can't.
I know that.
He can't write jokes.
But nobody's. He hasn't got any. So I'd fire those 22 people if that's what they're coming up with. Hey, do that same thing you always do. Oh, that helps.
So on the show, he won, but he was not considered the best.
Yeah, but it was called Last Comic Standing, not Funniest Comic Standing. That's the way I always look at it, you know.
It has the word last
Rudy
right
Is Rudy really
in it,
the
yeah.
best survivor? I don't know.
No,
you know? No. It's all.
Would
and
you do a Last Comic Standing All-Stars? Do you think they'd ever go back for that kind of thing?
I had a blast.
He's already on bad shows. He said so.
I know. I'm already on horrible shows.
I don't think it's going to be very good.
I know. Look for me on the Restaurant 7.
I'll be disgruntled, choking guy.
Exactly. Without an honor. Discharge.
Dave, you mentioned you're from the Midwest. You're not from the coasts where the typical comedians are found and bred. You're bred right out in the bread belt.
I was bred a lot there, right out in the middle.
Yeah, and what made you, you know, clearly you could have stayed there. What made you either A, get the hell out of there, or B, want to move to the, you know, to where the comedy is?
I never moved. I still live there.
You still live in the Midwest?
Yeah, I just fly to L.A. and I fly back. I would never. I have a 15-year-old son that I've been raising. His mom died in 95, so I've got a kid. I hated her. I had a hit. Oh, how nice am I?
Wait a minute.
I really like truly did.
You didn't have anything to do with it.
As long as you had nothing to do with it, that's okay.
I had, there's been no
right
conviction. There's been, I truly hated her.
But you're raising the son.
Every ounce
beautiful
of my being.
Nice job.
So I have my son, and I've been raising my niece. She's 15 also. And so they're great. So I'd never move. You know, I go for as long as I have to, then I come home.
Who watches them while you're gone?
No one, but, you know, I tell them stay away from, they're really responsible. They put their cigarettes out. They, they buy their meth. Don't cook that stuff
right
if I'm not around.
They recycle all their empties.
Exactly.
Right, yeah,
that's right.
Good
kids. Sounds like
that's a
good
real action aluminum. There's not a lot of that left.
So you make the commute, you go back.
Yep.
Of all the places you've been, favorite part of the country to perform in? Would it be home? Is there some like little giggles kind of a, you know, thing that's a taco stand by weekdays where they have comedy?
Welcome
on Friday
to Corny's.
Corny's. Where they're like really thrilled because you're the big national comedian from
it's
the
home again, folks. Back with another jaunt to that coast.
I do like doing it at home, but it's, and it won't last forever, obviously, but now I've had to do theaters at home. So I've done. This will be my third theater date. It's like 2,000 people. It's
2,000 people. See, because he's
the
big local.
It's done really well.
You're the local prodigy.
Yeah.
No one else from here ever did anything.
Nope. Got too big for Cordy. He's going to be going, oh, shucks, welcome. Welcome back to the Grange Hall. That's his favorite place. Daymore now!
Do they have, like, or you have menu items named after you and such?
I have all that stuff. All that stuff.
I knew
the Dave Mordahl. It's just Camel Lights and coffee. That's what you order.
The Mordahl plate,
there's
please.
No meat in there. That's just coffee, you know.
That's nice, though. That is sweet. Have you traveled far? I mean, we've
I have
been
done
talking
like 44 states.
But I mean, out of the country, we've talked to a lot of people going over for our troops. You haven't done that yet.
I have not done that.
Dishonorable discharge.
I think, I know. I wonder if
they don't let him on
he's
away.
He's gone out once, but now he's back.
My luck, I'd get to drive something. I wonder if that would help me at all if I went and did it for nothing. Because I do it for nothing. I mean, you know, that's our
would
troops.
You?
Oh, of course. I would.
They,
no,
might,
in a
they might erase your dishonorable discharge.
That is not a bad idea.
Call your local congressman or senator.
It helped Bob.
Send him
Hope
a check.
If you ever heard about him, he was
what?
Horrible.
You're kidding me. There's a Bob Hope.
No, I'm just kidding. Well,
then he invented
make it up.
Yeah.
Tailhook. It was
he
Bob
it
pinching people and
I gotta tell you.
So that's how rumors start.
44 of the United States.
Yeah, we've been everywhere.
If you didn't live in
Elk River, Minnesota,
which state would you would be your second choice?
Awkward silence.
Don't say.
You know what? I really, really, truly enjoy Texas.
Texas.
Oddly enough, I really like the South. It is so nice down there, so hospitable, and the women are just...
The women do dress
oh
up.
Oh, my
yeah
gosh.
I like that.
I really do like that, and they got... I mean, they will do quite literally anything for you if they like you.
Really?
So, yeah. Yes. Yes, even that.
Wow. More so than, like, other areas?
Yeah, well, you don't have... You know, with the forcing and...
You don't want them to go the forcing way. Yeah.
What's wrong with me? No, it's... I really liked it down there. I mean, it was odd that... Because I'm from a place where, you know, the audience walks by you and just nods and goes, oh, we had a great time, or whatever, you know, or they didn't have a great time. But down south, I mean, they would take us water skiing to barbecues. It's just really...
Come on down to barbecues.
You're
exactly
a funny man, Dave.
Exactly. They come out, you know, you go to a whittling contest, you know.
We're having a kegger and the Bush Twins will be there. Come
no,
on
no,
by.
No, it'd be great.
Yeah, so it was wild.
They'll
but
do
I
anything
really
for you if they really like you.
I think that gin I just put out.
They'll wash your clothes.
What?
Try and find that in America.
Someone's washed your clothes on
yes, they
a comedic
have
tour?
They've washed my clothes.
For what? Why? Did they soil them, too?
You know, Dave, you
that was
a little
the,
wild
that was
after
the night
a few
before
beers.
I quit drinking.
How do you usually fly? Do you have a particular airline or a particular system? You must be in the air a lot.
I just go by cheapest.
Cheapest,
which I don't think is good, but
no,
still, it's
cheapest, you know, there. Lowest maintenance costs.
Yeah.
I just go to my website, chickenonmylap.com.
Do you guys ever fly?
I fly, yeah. I'm flying today.
There's so many scary things, and I'm not talking about up and down or turbulence. The fact that the pilots get out and look at the plane...
Oh,
that bothers me to no end.
Why?
Well,
I would rather have a mechanic looking at the plane than these idiots.
I'm actually a pilot.
Are
so
you?
I can tell you that every pilot is responsible for, you know, granted, in the big airlines, I don't know how it exactly works,
right,
but a pilot is responsible for the safety and flight readiness of the airplane.
But you're in a suit. I would feel a lot better with a guy named Chuck with a greasy wrench going, yeah, it looks okay to me.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'd feel better.
Does a pilot walking around do any good?
You know, I would like to know what the major airline pilots do. I have to do a thorough pre-flight before I fly every time.
Right.
Has it ever come to fact where you get a pilot on, folks, we're going to have to delay our flight. The mechanics thought that 3-foot hold wing was going to be okay, but I don't think I'm happy with it. We're going to get y'all off the plane and don't have a 5-foot hold on the
engine. They ever actually stopped anything?
This much I do know.
The rudder's missing. That's why we had such a tough time.
I can't believe maintenance didn't catch it. We're going to find something else to put you on right away.
I do know that the pilot in command can be the final say. He can refuse to go up for safety concerns. Wow. He can overrule the mechanics and should.
What amazes me also is the fact that these airlines check the pilots at security.
Now.
You've already got the biggest weapon on the plane. You've got the plane.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well,
you hold a gun to your own head?
Yeah, but they're checking to see that that's really Starbucks in your Starbucks cup.
Because
they've got a couple
with
booze in the Starbucks cup. That's what
they're called. How amazing is it that we have drunk pilots and they still fly just fine?
It's weird. All the comedians are getting sober. All the pilots are drunk. Something's wrong with this world.
No, but the pilots are getting funnier.
Dad fan wins the show. That's to see.
You know the scariest thing that's happened to me on a flight is sitting next to a guy who had the Bible open and he was highlighting passages. That's to me, honestly, that was where I wanted to just snap his neck, because that's really scary to me that somebody would be sitting there just highlighting passages in the Bible, because you know he's going to snap one day.
Yeah. Did you talk to him about it?
I wanted nothing to do with that man. I won't talk to anybody on a plane anyway, but. Nothing with this guy. That's just scary that you've got nothing to do with your time but highlight passages in the Bible.
You get searched a lot with the tattoo and the...
I get searched every time I fly. I get the special treatment because I buy one-way tickets.
One-way tickets.
Yep.
If I were a rich man...
Our next guest is a rich man. One of the most fascinating figures in American culture today. The most successful businessman of his generation, at least he thinks so. Please welcome from his office at Trump Tower in New York... Donald Trump. Good morning, Mr. Trump. Congratulations on the success of The Apprentice.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. I really do.
Did you have any idea that you could ever become as big as you have and that the show would be such a monster hit? And if so, what do you attribute the success of the show to?
Well, The Apprentice has really taken on a life of its own. And I'd like to tell you that I knew ahead of time that the project would be so successful. But, of course, you never know in business. You give your best shot. You do your best work. And God willing, things will work out the way they work out. As far as to what do I attribute the success of The Apprentice, I'd like to tell you that it was my work, my charisma, the cutthroat element that is business in today's environment. But to be perfectly honest with you, I have to say it's the lying, psychopathic, psycho bitch Omarosa. People love to hate that woman. We knew going in she couldn't be trusted. It was a loose cannon, but we knew people would love that. You just want to reach in the TV and smack her in the mug.
And that was the what got you the ratings. Huh?
That really was what brought the audience back week in, week out. We appreciated her work, compensated her accordingly.
Frankly, Mr. Trump, I am a little surprised to see all the media you've immersed yourself in. I mean, a man of your wealth and status. I mean, we have billionaires here in the Northwest, and you certainly would never see a Mr. Gates or Mr. Allen getting in
Trump
network
is not
show.
Worth that much money, Joe. You didn't know that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Like $100 million or something like that.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you hear that?
I heard every word of that. Are you trying to say that the Trump Empire, Trump Towers, Trump Plaza?
Well, I don't want to say it's all
Trump-orama, Trump Gator, Trump Gatorland.
I'm not saying it's all Trump
Taj Mahals,
or
the
anything,
boardwalk,
but
the cars, the helicopters, the planes.
But you're not that big of a success. You're just a womanizing older middle-aged guy who's trying to recapture some of his youth.
I like where you're going. I like what you're thinking here. I don't know if you're doing anything
like
the rest of your life,
but
I'd like to have you on board.
I'm a mean son of a bitch.
You're shooting from the hip, and I like that.
Now, I did hear, Mr. Trump, that yesterday you signed a pretty lucrative deal with a large radio company to do a 90-second commentary, and that you are going to get several million dollars for just, like, talking for 90 seconds a day on the radio. Is that true?
That is true. Trump Radio is coming. It's going to be business advice, lifestyle advice, my take on everything from hair to suits to caviar, just a wide spectrum of things of which I have expertise. Good-looking women, Weasley men.
Are you trying to convince me of expertise on hair?
Please don't go there.
How?
Come
please,
on, man.
Please,
You're wearing like a dead hamster up there. That's not
actually,
hair.
Actually, it's a crazy weasel.
Dead crazy weasel.
Crazy weasel is the style we go with.
How is the FCC going to allow this, to pay you millions of dollars to talk for 90 seconds? Frankly, that's what I find very obscene. I mean, isn't that the definition?
Of obscene? Is that what you're asking, Donald?
Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be so upfront with
Look
you.
Joe. No, Joe.
I mean,
don't you watch the show, Joe?
Joe?
Once you go in
Joe?
There...
Joe?
Yes.
You're fired.
Well, I've worked so hard at this job for so many years. And
Joe,
stop
the whining, sniveling. I'm tired of it. You're fired.
To see a man come into my business,
Joe, you're
my
fired.
Profession.
I'm disgusted with
no
your
life. Experience.
Joe, you're hired. You're back. You fought your way in. You didn't say die. I like that about you.
After doing this for over 15 years, nobody's ever offered me millions of dollars, and I do it 20 hours a week. You're going to get all this money, and you're just going to talk for like 60 seconds. That just doesn't seem fair to me, sir.
Joe, what are you an expert on? What information would you bring to the American people that would be worth millions of dollars for? Because, Joe, if you've got the knowledge, if you've got the expertise, I'll give you the money. I'll pay you $1 million for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, but it's got to be good. It's got to deliver.
And
it's got to give people what they want.
Right now, what do you got, Joe?
What do you got?
I can cook a pretty good pork roast.
Joe, my jet will be there shortly. I'm going to pick you up. You're on payroll.
All right. Maura, do you have a question for the Donald?
Well, I don't hope you haven't already covered this. I heard that you're newly engaged again, sir, and I'm just wondering if you have signed a prenuptial agreement or forced the beautiful young woman to do that. And what can she expect in a couple of years' time when you split up?
Saggage. No, really. You know, I appreciate that your best wishes and your acknowledgement of the love of my life. And I wish for the life of me I could remember her name right now. But what I have found, and I've dated beautiful women all my life. I've always been surrounded by the creme de la creme of beautiful women.
That's right.
What I have found is if you strip away the money, the success, the suits, the designer clothing, the gold bathroom fixtures, the apartment above the whole city,
uh-huh.
If when you strip all that away, what are you left with?
Naked woman.
A naked woman. That's exactly right.
That's what
you
want.
That's what every man just sheds. What every man wants in
sure.
life for her or for her end of it. A naked fat man with bad hair.
Let me ask you about some of your ups and downs in your careers. Have you had something maybe that? I mean, this is a huge success. Maybe something that's been a failure for you, and how you feel about being a big television star.
Well, you know, as in any business, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. That's the nature of business. What you got to realize is that I'm no different than any other businessman. I had everything, I lost everything, then I had everything again, then I lost some, then I had a lot more, then I lost a little more, then I lost everything again, then I had everything again.
Uh-huh.
Is this your hair?
Then I lost everything.
He's talking about his hair.
Had some, had more, lost three quarters of everything, had everything again, lost everything again. It's the nature of business. Mm. Really is the nature of business. But what I have found, if I put the Trump name onto a business venture, be it a building, be it a casino, be it a line of feminine hygiene products, the Trump name seems to evoke the success and winning the ways that I do business. And no matter what it is, if I put the Trump name on, it's going to do well.
Now, is it true that ring you bought, your lovely future wife is 12?
Joe, I'll give you $1 million if you come up with a name right now. $1 million, Joe. I'm serious. I can't think of a name.
I don't remember her name either, sir, but I heard the ring was 12 carats. Is that true?
Carats.
Yeah, to that he remembers.
Is that a real 12-carat ring? That is unbelievable.
Thank you. It's, you know, when you have a woman of this beauty, of this magnitude, this international model, a gorgeous woman, and I look down at when I take my pants off and I see what I'm working with here, you'd understand 12 carats doesn't begin to cover the deficit.
All right. The Donald, it's hard to repeat a success, and we do know that The Apprentice 2...
The Apprentice 2, is just we're just wrapping up filming on The Apprentice 2.
So it's almost done filming.
Yes.
Will it be as big as Apprentice, the first show?
again, who can say? Who knows? You never know in business. What I can tell you is we're going bigger on The Apprentice too. We're incorporating huge companies to become involved. The business challenges will be tougher for our apprentice wannabes. I'll give you a quick example. We're working with the U.S. Navy. The apprentice will have to disarm live mines in the Persian Gulf 1 week. They'll have to disembowel cattle with alien representatives in another week. We're really turning it up the volume on this show.
I might watch that one. That sounds a little better.
Disemboweling is interesting to you?
Well,
we try to capitalize on the fear factor audience.
Yes.
The losing side will have to eat whatever's been disemboweled. It's going to be a great show. Great show.
And as a business expert, how is your forecast for the economy? A lot of people say we've turned the corner, even though interest rates and gas are rising, that things are looking up. Do you think that's true, sir?
I'm always optimistic. There's always going to be opportunities for the creative thinkers, the risk takers in business. I thought that a good businessman is isolated from the business environment that surrounds him. Now, speaking of rising gas, maybe you should lay off the barbecue stuff you're working with.
Thank you, Donald Trump. Good luck with the show, sir. Yes.
You're fired.
Thank you. Evan Marriott, best known to America for his starring role on Joe Millionaire, will be taping a show for GSN. The grand prize, $10,000. With more details on the new show, how to get involved, and a little behind the scenes on what it was like to be Joe Millionaire, it's Joe Millionaire himself. Evan Marriott, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
Boy, you just have to keep saying that name, don't you?
Which Joe? Yeah, I know.
Are you trying to live down the Joe Millionaire-ness?
And if you want to meet Joe Millionaire, Joe Millionaire will be at the mall. And Joe Millionaire is right here in the studio. Say hi, Joe Millionaire. What's going on, Joe Millionaire? How are things, Joe Millionaire? Joe Millionaire is sitting to my left, and Joe Millionaire wants a cup of coffee.
What
how about
you
Joe Millionaire? Can you use the bathroom?
I mean, you know, you're on a show called Joe Millionaire, you know. And then you had all these ladies trailing after you. What happened to the winning lady? I know I haven't followed.
You know, I don't know. She's doing some stuff for Nutrisystem or NutriSlim or Nutra something.
Fat Shaker, the new Fat Shaker.
Yeah.
Fat Shaker 2000.
Yeah.
So it didn't, obviously, it wasn't magic.
No, it really wasn't, to tell you the truth. She was, when the director said that's a wrap, I said that's a wrap.
Wow.
We both said that's a wrap. It wasn't just me. She was, you know.
She was sick of you, too.
Yeah.
And what's interesting,
we weren't sick of each other. It's just, you know, I mean, come on.
That premise. How do you find true love with that premise?
Well, I think you can. You have 19 others to fall back on, don't you? Or are you not allowed to just serial date them all?
Well, I mean, gosh, you know, at that time, at 28 years of age, I was still single. I didn't expect a network to find, you know, one girl out of 20 that they picked for me, you know? I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. I think I'll be 90 and single.
You really? And look, I mean, you're a good-looking guy,
totally.
Obviously. That's why he was picked.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm pretty. It's not that I'm.
You're pretty messed up in the head. You're about to say.
I'm a pretty sick individual.
I'm damaged, boys. Damaged.
Well, let me ask you about that, because good-looking women. We joke about it, but we've always often felt that the best-looking women get extra baggage because of their good looks. Does the same thing happen to guys?
No. I don't.
Invisible baggage, we call it, because they don't see
off,
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that depends on you really do have to talk into this mic.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get right up on top of it like this.
We've had to duct tape some guests to it.
Yeah. You know, that depends on your what you think good looking is. I mean, my mother's biggest fan, so she, you know, obviously I'm her son, so that's what she says, you know, and I was picked for the show because of a particular personality and look that I had, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't agree with that.
Is that that all? He did that aw shucks look that he did on the show all the time.
Chicks melt.
Gosh, aw shucks. Good looking? Gee,
yeah.
Me?
Is that where you got your looks? Was your mom a pretty hot mom?
I got a good looking mom, yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty hot.
She's not been asked to be on any reality show.
No, and she should. She's got more personality in her pinky than I know about five people do in their whole body. So
that's nice.
It's unbelievable.
All right, you were in the story on you is still a fascinating one. I don't want to call it a rags to riches story because you're not rich yet.
It is.
But are you rich?
I'm not rich.
No.
I mean, you know, no.
No, but a rags to fame story.
And a rags to a good job on a good network.
Yeah.
Well, you know, really, I came from a really well-to-do family. My father has an investment business in in Virginia, and we were taught to wear, you know, our khaki pants and blue blazer, and I have the kind of the Martha Stewart mother who's in the Garden Club of, you know, Virginia, and,
really?
And this, that, and the other, and so, and they all went to college, and I was the one that not only didn't go to college, but I dropped out of high school. And that was like a kick after the shot to the gut. That was the kick in the nuts.
Sure, they hated
to the family. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like how much lower can you bring us down? And so, that was the way I always. I mean, from the day I was born, I was always doing everything that I wanted to do, and I wanted to get out in the working world and do stuff. I wanted to work with my hands. I wanted to work in construction. And my father said, "Hey, if you want to sell apples on the street corner, go do it."
And my that's the vote of confidence you love to get from your dad.
It was a vote of confidence. He's just he was just like, you do what you want to do, and don't worry about what your mother's.
Oh, he really meant it.
Yeah.
It
wasn't sarcastic.
My dad's was sarcastic. You want to go spin records, that's all right. You'll always be a loser.
Well, no, it's my father kind of saw me that in a way that no one else in the family, not even my mother, I mean, my grandparents, everyone. He understood where I was coming from, and even my mother, you know, we fought a little bit as growing up because we had the same personality. You know, we were just very stubborn, and and Nikki knows I'm stubborn. Talking about the PR girl that's here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if that's your current girlfriend.
PR girl from it.
She's Nikki's, not your
Nikki's,
current girl?
No, Nikki's in a relationship. She's been in a relationship for a while.
Okay, that doesn't mean that she couldn't be, a little Joe Millionaire on there.
No.
As an entree.
Trust me, Nikki's got her own thing going on. Trust me.
I can believe you. You were, for a while there, you were a model. Mostly an
hated every minute of
underwear model, and I'm curious. Really?
I wasn't an underwear model.
It says you were. You're trying to change history now.
No, I'm trying to set the record straight.
It says you were an underwear model in all the biographical materials.
When I was 18 years old, I was asked to go modeling because my mother figured, well, my son hasn't gone to college, so at least he can maybe get out there and get his face out there and you know,
that's
magazines
not your face.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's my schlong. So. So when I was 18, 19 years old, I went over to Paris and I tried it and I didn't like it. And
you tried underwear modeling.
No,
you're like Clinton. I tried underwear modeling, but
modeling.
I didn't inhale.
Just modeling.
Come on, it says you underwear modeling. Are you telling me the biography that your second show has about you is telling a lie?
Right. So what I'm getting at is, when I was 18 or 19 year old, I started modeling and I hated every minute of it. Went back to construction and then moved out to California, and I started training as a professional wrestler because I couldn't make ends meet. Doing that, and I was also, the construction industry had kind of tanked after September 11th. I needed some cash. Now I'm 28 years old. That's what I'm saying. It's a 10-year difference.
Yeah, I see. A long time.
I hadn't done anything in front of a camera for 10 years, and so I needed some cash, and there was a woman that worked out at a gym in Venice that had a line of clothing workout wear for men. It looks like it's underwear, but it's not. It's supposed to be workout wear, but it's the damnedest workout wear ever.
A lycra model.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it was like, tried it on, I was like, somebody's actually going to work out in this crap? So anyway, but they paid me super well for it.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't, I hadn't eaten in days, and I was just like, I need some money. So,
so
as long as I don't have to touch anybody that's not got big boobs and three holes, I'm good shape.
But you really were a construction
I'm
worker.
I'm sure I don't know what he means. Yes, Joe.
You really were a construction worker.
In other words, if I don't have to touch any guys, I'm in good shape.
Yeah,
you know, as long as you send a girl in the room, we're fine.
We understand. You really were a construction worker,
though,
Evan?
Yeah, I ran heavy equipment. I ran bulldozers and excavators.
Okay, so that's not...
That part you're happy to proud to talk about. The underwear modeling sort of affair.
Well, it's not that I'm not happy to talk about the underwear modeling. It was just something I did just for a little extra cash. You know what I mean? And because at the time she was looking, and I happened to be the guy that she wanted, and that was worked out fine.
How did she know? I mean, for example, with an underwear model, how do you know they're going to look good in underwear until you have them down to their underwear? I mean, I don't hate to be a detective here, but you knew this woman pretty well, I would guess.
I don't know. I mean,
she saw you in full clothes and said,
"Well, actually, it was a woman that was
have
in the
X-ray
gym.
Specs on. How did she know?
I don't. You know, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I really.
Could airbrush some imperfections. I'm sure. Right. I mean, you've got the face and the body, so.
So you were bouncing around California.
Bouncing around California, and it was a friend of mine. See, I lived in New York City too. I've had a pretty interesting life. I lived in New York City. I was a doorman for a hotel there. And there was a girl that I dated there, and the fellow that actually introduced me to that girl out one night at a bar, when she and I broke up, he and I stayed friends, and he happened to be working at a network in California, and he's the one that called me. And I'd stayed in touch with him for 10 years, And he said, Evan, there's a show that's coming out, and I think you'd be perfect for it. And I've asked you to do other things, and you've turned it down, and I think this is something you need to do.
Joe Millionaire.
So I did it.
All right. Now, your new show is called GSN's Fake a Date. By the way, right. GSN used to be the game show network, but now they don't want to be known for fried foods, so they're just GSN. And it's like Kentucky Fried Chicken,
right.
It's Kitchen Fresh Chicken.
Right.
And we need a new acronym for, and we need a new, instead of Game Show Network,
right.
It's still going to be GSN, but they need to call it the, you know.
It's the network for games.
It's still games.
Oh, yeah.
But
right, it's
game
GSN,
show.
The network
so
for
game
games.
So game show is to chick, is fried, like fried is to chicken. So you just want to still play games on
it's,
shows.
I got you. I
but
got
but
you.
Game show implies something your grandmother would watch as opposed to him. Well, I think she'd enjoy him, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they're taking the network and they're trying to revamp it. Because of they're not trying to get away from the older demographic. We love the older demographic. We like the people that are watching and everything. And I have to say we now because I'm very much involved in them with the network. We're trying to gear it so it's some back down so it's something everybody can enjoy.
Right
a
on.
Younger crowd, the older crowd. Right. We're not getting rid of the, you know, the old newlywed games.
You'll have
and the
pyramid. You'll have newlywed
exactly.
games. You'll have match games.
It's still on.
Exactly.
Now.
Oh
so
yeah.
The classics.
Yeah.
Classic games. And alternative and modern edge games.
Exactly.
You can work with Gene Rayburn's Ghost and get along fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, on this show, which is called Fake a Date, someone has to go out, and if I got it right, someone has to go out and determine whether their date is real or fake.
Right.
And if they choose the right person, they choose someone they might have a shot with. If they choose the wrong person, that person gets money and prizes and they get nothing.
Right.
Is that right?
Well, it's basically, it comes down to the person that the people that they're choosing from, one single, one's not.
One single and one is
right.
not. Yeah.
One
and
of
they don't,
got
they, and they don't know who is and who isn't.
They have to fake it. They have to pretend that they're very interested in this person when all they really want is money.
Exactly.
That's women do that like so easily though. How is anybody?
And now they're doing it. And now they're doing it every Wednesday night at 10.
Every Wednesday night at 10. All right.
How would you like to be? I mean, you got two chicks or two guys. One of them's single. One of them's already involved and lying through her teeth or his teeth. How'd you like to be the partner of the liar? Man, that's my baby up there blowing smoke up somebody's head. Look at her go. Look at her lie through.
Yeah.
That's my girl.
And you know
I
what?
I love her.
And you know what the shocker is?
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah, of course they do.
They freaking love it.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't had a problem. I've had problems on the show as the host standing behind the guy that's actually picking between the two girls, and he's mad. And I'm thinking, dude, you just picked a girl that has a boyfriend. You know, she's got a boyfriend. Why are you angry? If I was her boyfriend, I'd be over here stomping a mud hole in you for what you did to her in the limousine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and these
you
girls
know?
Are trying to get the money, so
and
they're
they
going
are.
All out.
So there's yeah. no girls in this for you, huh? Do you get the
well, no, if the guy
the
if the guy
rejects?
Chooses wrong, I get the single chick. I wrote that into the contract. That's
yeah,
it's
called
little,
left warm leftovers.
I get a little something if you choose wrong.
Nice.
So yeah.
Now tomorrow it's
win for everyone.
Tomorrow it's a different deal, though, right, Evan? You can come down and play a trivia contest.
Yeah, it's very basic. I mean, if you know the capital of your state, you're in. You know what I mean? It's if you. I know. I'm saying
that's because we want.
Cool.
That's because we want
basic.
Pretty girls. Yes.
No, it is basic. It is basic trivia. I mean, it's and I'm telling you, it's been a blast. We've been to what, six cities so far? Seven cities.
Okay.
And we lose count after eight. But there are seven. But
after Iowa, every
oh my God,
man.
It's like you're just on the road, a different city every
yeah.
week. But it's been a packed house in these malls.
And is this to locate contestants for the show?
No, we've actually we've done the contestant searches throughout.
So this is just
Dallas,
for fun.
Miami. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. This is actually well, this is we're giving away $10,000 towards college tuition. Comcast and Bank of America are putting up money.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. Let's give it out. It's South Center from 2 to 5 p.m. tomorrow, and to meet Evan. And I got to ask you, Evan, as a final question. I mean, God, you don't have a steady girlfriend right now.
No.
How hard is it for you to meet girls? Is it like basically running water?
No, it's not what everybody thinks it is.
It isn't?
No.
No, it's really
not.
Hard, really difficult. So
was,
if you need something, come on, meet me at South Center tomorrow.
Well, the thing is, it's not that it's difficult. It's that everybody's got this big misconception that we come into a halt here or what?
Well, yeah, that's a warning light. That's
I'm
a minute and a half. You get your all
set. If I need to yield sometimes?
You're not colorblind, are you?
Yeah. There's a big misconception that I've got, like, these girls at my doorway at the hotel room, like I'm a rock star or something. Like they got groupies. I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. I get the. In fact, I get a lot of times if I go into a bar or I'm in a you know public area and there's a lot of girls. A lot of them, you know, one will get the guts to come up and say something to me, but the others won't until that one does. And then a lot of times they'll just look at, you know, and not say anything, and they whisper, but they don't make a move. They don't come over to me and go, hey, can I run up to your room with you?